so? You think it's new? Maybe you do at the moment, but wait until Dr. Wilfred J. Funk, famed novelist, lexicographer, and publisher of dictionaries and encyclopedias, gets through with you. So You Think It's New is one of the most fascinating, instructive, and entertaining quarter hours on the air. Sugar-coated information as old as Nero, as new as tomorrow. Backed by facts and brought to you by
Everett's Jewelry Company, Dallas, Texas.
Does someone in your family have a birthday real soon? Is a friend getting married? And how about anniversaries? Because we don't give away gifts every day, and because gifts should be something special, see to it that the gift you send comes from Everett's Jewelry Company. For in Dallas, gifts from Everett's are gifts at their best. And the best way to keep posted as to what's new in gifts is to stop in at Everett's and just browse around. You'll be thrilled by what you'll see. And when you're in Everett's, make it a special point to look over their Gruen watches. Smart and modern in design and supremely accurate, these finest of all fine watches will be the most appreciated gift you can choose. And remember, a gift always means more when it comes in an Everett box.
And now for So You Think It's New. Dr. Wilfred J. Funk, author of this remarkable series of programs, is a man of many sides. A well-known writer of light verse and short stories, a lexicographer, publisher of the famous line of Funk and Wagnalls dictionaries, former editor-in-chief of the Literary Digest, and father of the newest magazine sensation, Your Life. We mention all this because Dr. Funk has a grand sense of humor. He smiles at facts. But if there be one single skeptic in our audience to doubt the authenticity of any remark given by Dr. Funk, let him beware, because he gives facts. But now, here he is, Dr. Wilfred J. Funk, in So You Think It's New.
A few thousand years ago, Solomon tossed a famous phrase into the test tube of philosophy when he said, quite simply, "There's nothing new under the sun." Now let's take that phrase and turn it upside down and dress it in modern clothes, and it will read, "It's all happened before." Do you think this nudism fad is new? Why, it's as old as Adam and Eve, and it pops up in the musty records as often as inflation and the public's crabbing about high taxes. Incidentally, if you're worried about the staggering load of taxes you're carrying, an ancient tablet records the story of a man over 40 centuries ago who tried to chisel his income tax. Do you think the New Deal is new? Why, old Hammurabi, the grand old king of Babylon, did the same thing 40,000 years ago. And in his New Deal, he tied business up so tight with codes that it almost strangled. If you're worried about the threat of inflation, just listen to these facts. In the depression of 333 A.D., money was so debased in Egypt that a $500 home required a mortgage of $1 million for security. And wheat cost $2,500 a bushel. And at the same time, in the little town of Jerusalem, 10,000 unemployed stood in the bread lines. And so, you think it's new? Now, we more settled folks of the nation often sit back and gasp at the wicked doings of our modern American girl. Well, there they are, dipping tiny brushes into pots and painting their fingernails every human color and touching up toenails and doing all sorts of things that make us moral men mutter in our beards about the younger generation going to ruin. But that's all old stuff. A lot of you husbands are terribly bothered about this painted nail business, but a few of the hard-boiled ones still taboo the practice as a new form of degeneracy. Now, the new part of that is amusing. There's a weazened mummy on the second floor of the British Museum in London who used to paint her fingernails, and her toenails, too. She painted them a dark, deep, modern red. Remove her cold and cruel exhibit tag, number 22,542, and breathe the breath of life between her dry ribs. And then she'll likely smile again at how her husband fumed at her nails in old Thebes. This new style was all the rage around the fall of 3000 B.C., and it was probably even in existence when the blueprints of the pyramids were being drawn. All of these old girls, thousands of years ago, rouged, too. And they used lipsticks and henna rinses and mud packs. They bobbed their hair. They plucked their eyebrows. They had permanent waves, and they had their faces lifted. Of course, the facelifting was a little different in the days of faraway Egypt. Then they either used an overlay painting to cover the wrinkles, or else they stuffed padding in the cheeks to take up the slack. And all of these beauty parlor stunts were old stuff when the world had its first baby curls. The more you get into this business of trying to find something which has not been done before, the more futile it seems. However, I'm in possession of one valuable little item that strengthens my faith in the belief that we of today are better off than our brothers and sisters of 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. That happens to be one of the new Gruen Curvex watches. True, timepieces are not new. The Egyptians had clocks that did everything but cook, and I might add, tell time. But for the life of me, I cannot find a watch with the streamlined beauty and the pocket watch accuracy that are the characteristics of the Gruen Curvex. The movement as well as the case is curved, which permits larger, sturdier parts and full-sized, accurate movement. My sponsor has the Gruen Curvex, as well as hundreds of other fine gifts, and I suggest that you drop in and have a look. Not so very long ago, I ran across an item in the paper that amused me no end. And when I pass the facts on to you, you'll know why. This item read...
Detroit, Michigan. At a recent luncheon held here by the American Association of Automobile Manufacturers, it was voted that the greatest and most modern advancement toward the promotion of safety in motor cars was shatterproof glass.
Shatterproof glass. And so you think it's new? Well, then, take my arm and walk down that much-abused corridor of time to the year 34 A.D., just some 904 years ago. We're going to drop in on old Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Tibi, as I'm sure his intimates called him, was a shrewd old duck with a terrific yen for gold. That was new in those days, too. And whenever he heard about something that might make him a dot richer, he was all ears. And so on this day, we find ourselves in his audience room as he sits there looking at a poor workman, very much out of place in the sumptuous room. Impatiently, Tiberius yells for the man to speak up.
Well, speak up!
Well, sire, I...
The man is a commoner. He is awed by your presence.
I won't have it. Tiberius is a man of the people. Workman, I'm your friend. Speak up.
I have made a great discovery.
Yes, I know. But what? Another gadget to take the wrinkles out of my toga?
No, sire.
Well, that's a wonder. Well, what is it?
Glass, sire.
Glass? Well, what do you suppose this pot is made of? What do you suppose all my pots are made of? They're glass. You call that new? Take this man away.
But, sire, this glass is different.
Doesn't look any different to me. You can see through it, and it will break when you drop it.
But that's just it, sire.
What's just it?
It won't break when I drop it.
Huh?
It's unbreakable.
Huh?
May I demonstrate?
Keep your eyes on this man. I think the sun has made his head soft.
Yes, sire.
See, sire, this cup. Now, watch closely. You will observe it is of glass. To all appearances, the same as your pots.
Very well. Proceed.
I will drop it on the tiles. Thusly.
It did not break, sire. It is a miracle.
I hand you the cup to examine for yourself.
Bless my toga. Why, it's dented.
Yes, sir.
It looks like glass. It feels like glass, but it's dented, just as my copper pots would be.
Now, sire, if you will permit me. I take this little mallet, and with a few taps, thusly. There. I have taken out the dent, and your glass cup is as good as new.
Astounding!
Miraculous!
You, the great Roman emperor, would be pleased with my invention.
Pleased? Yes. Does anyone else know how to blow glass like this?
Oh, no, sire. I have guarded the secret for your sake.
Good. Taurus.
Yes, sire?
This unbreakable glass might become more precious than gold.
There is no doubt about it, sire.
That would be too bad, Taurus. I love gold very much.
Yes, sire.
It can't happen.
No, sire.
Have this man beheaded.
And so ends the authentic story, credited as true by modern researchers and vouched for by the Roman novelist Petronius and by his contemporary Pliny the Elder. Unfortunately, with the beheading of the workman, the process of absolutely unbreakable glass was lost. And up to this very day, we haven't even approached its perfection. And so when you're out driving, don't be too proud of the age in which we live. For while your glass may be shatterproof, it's not unbreakable. Now, the Roman poet Juvenal complains that he can't sleep at night for the noise. The rich people, you see, had already moved out to the suburbs to escape the racket. And on the corner just ahead of us on this Broadway of 20 centuries past is an apartment hotel. Yes, they had them too, you see. It has rooms for transients and for traveling salesmen and others. It wouldn't seem so very strange to you if you spent the night there. But in the morning, you'd know that it wasn't the year 1938. For here's the bill that you'd get. One bottle of wine with bread, 1 cent. Other food, 2 cents. Hay for the mule, 2 cents. Room and girl, 3 cents. And blondes were preferred. Perhaps you think the ancients didn't play modern games. Why, they had checkers and football and backgammon. And as for craps, that is a story. It's quite probable that primitive men faded their opponents with human knuckleballs. More modern, however, were the cubes of old Greece, marked and shaped like our own. Nero was a grand crap shooter, and Caligula, the emperor, was one of the most crooked dice throwers of all time. Claudius wrote a book on the sport. Literally hundreds of loaded dice, either clay or wood or ivory, are still being dug out of Roman ruins. Movies? They had them in far-off Greece. Pictures were painted on pillars in progressive fashion, the idea being to ride by them on horseback and so get the effect of motion. And then some smart inventor devised a better method. He painted a series of pictures in spiral sequence on a single revolving pillar. And this was spun by a rope, and the audience of those distant times enjoyed the first cinema. Dog races? Why, there were rat races in Roman days, and the sausage was dragged in front of them instead of our mechanical rabbit. Bathtubs? Helen of Troy bathed in one that could have come right out of one of our modern catalogs. Steam turbine engines? The first one was invented by Hero of Alexandria, a model that actually worked 1,500 years before James Watt saw the steam bubbling from his mother's kitchen kettle. Yes, I'm afraid that these modern conveniences of ours, these front-page headlines, are just a little tarnished by time. Now, in this first program of mine, I've touched on the idea of So You Think It's New in a general sort of way. The real fascination of this information only comes when we settle down and pick one subject apart. And in just a moment, I'm going to tell you about the subject that I've chosen for my next program. In the meantime, here's Len Sterling with a few important words.
Have you been in Everett's lately? Have you seen what truly remarkable gifts they're displaying these days? Well, in any case, plan to spend an hour in Everett's tomorrow. Feast your eyes on the beautiful treasures you can select for gifts or for your own use. And don't overlook the clocks and watches. They'll be glad to show you the smart, modern designs which now encase the traditionally accurate Gruen watches. And when you see what truly magnificent timepieces these new Gruen watches are, you'll be amazed to learn that they're priced well within the means of everyone. Whenever birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, Christmas, and other gift-giving days approach, keep this in mind. In Dallas, gifts at their very best are gifts from Everett.
This is Dr. Funk again, warning you not to laugh too hard about the strange forms of money that we have had in recent times. Money such as bottle caps and slugs and so on. Because in my next program, which I've titled Funny Money, I promise you a quarter hour that'll make you appreciate the American dollar in spite of its oft-time shaky underpinnings. And goodbye, and thanks for listening.